It's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. It's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head.
Down to the river to pray, yeah, yeah. Let's get washed by the water. Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see all men? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
We Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Got to get things started. Huh? Okay. Gotcha. Well, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. I've been 4 days on this one. And I still don't have it all. It's one of those messages where you get into it, and the more you dig, the more you see. And I printed out my notes and got ready to print them out from my computer, and the printer wouldn't work. So I did the next best thing. I put them on my Facebook or little laptop. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. We magnify your holy name because you're worthy to be praised. We thank you for everything. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is our teacher, will bring back to our remembrance those things that you have spoken unto us. And we thank you for that, Father. We just give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah, being in the Old Testament, tells you a lot about Jesus, tells you a lot about what he's going to do, what he does, what he will do. One of the things we have to look at when we look at the Word of God is we have to look at it in the yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And a lot of times we forget that we think of Christ being born and all the patriarchs and all this other stuff. We think of them as being yesterday. Then we think about the coming, the rapture, the new church age. I mean, Christ coming back to earth to establish his kingdom and so on and so forth. Well, that's in the future. The book of Revelations, that's in the future. But what about now? We live in the here and now. Not next month, not next year, not 10 years from now. I can ask every one of you in here, and you can tell me things that happened when you were a child. Our minds get stuck on the things that are in the past. So when we're looking into the Word of God, we need to understand that God is talking to us on the here and now. Not next month, next year. He's talking to us now, and that allows us to receive from God the things that are ours. Not in the future, but the things that are ours now. So chapter 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." So what basically he's saying is that the unrighteous, you need to forget all those things. The things in the past. The unrighteous things that you did. What your intent was. What your thoughts and your mindset was about. And he says, let him return to the Lord. Forget the things of the past. Forget those things in the past that led you astray. You know, I remember when I was a kid, there were lots of times that because where I lived, how I lived, so on and so forth, that if you would have asked me, well, is God near? I would have said, well, he's somewhere, but I haven't seen him in a long time. Well, what are we getting at? We're saying that our relationship with God is not what it ought to be. All right. And he will have mercy on him and to our God. God said these things, that the evil, the wicked, God's going to have mercy on those. He's going to have mercy on what your habits were, what you used to do, what you used to have. And he's going to bring forth in your life the things that are pertaining to God. If we will allow God to have rights in our lives, that God's presence, God walking with us, talking with us, sharing with us, will not be in the future or as it was in the past days. I remember, you know, I hear people all the time saying, I remember my grandma, she used to get, you know, she had her hair put up in pins, and, you know, she used to get in church and she'd shout and those pins would go flying, and, you know. Well, that's great. That's grandma. That was yesterday. What about today? What about you? Grandma's gone. Grandma's gone to heaven. Both of my grandpas, both of my grandmothers, my mom and dad, all of them are gone. Brothers and sisters, they're all gone. But you see, it's the aspect of God's Word that brings life and the presence of the Heavenly Father into my life, into what I am doing, into my now. Not next month, not next year. And God says here, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, what would that be thinking about? I mean, why would that be thinking? What would you be thinking about? In John 15th chapter, the 5th verse, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. God's saying that your life is fruitful, blessed, prosperous, because you are walking with the Father. God wants us to know that it's the Father's presence that blesses us. When Jesus came and he was walking the earth, he talked about his relationship to the Father. I am in the Father. The Father is in me. What the Father does, I do. And that's what God is trying to get across to us, that if we will allow God to be an ever-present help in our lives, that relationship with God, the Father, that the Son had, will be our relationship with the Father also. And then he goes on and he says in John 14, 20, he says, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You see, it's that relationship that we're talking with God on. God is telling us that, I want you to understand, it's not a futuristic happening. You know, someday you're going to get in heaven. There's a lot of people that go to church and that's all they think about. Well, someday I'll get to heaven. But you can have, the preacher can have one of the best messages he ever had, and they walk out of the church, and by the time they get home, they couldn't tell you what he talked about. You see, it's not the preacher that is your primary concern. It's the Father that the preacher is presenting to you and allowing you to see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So what he's getting at is, he's getting at the fact that you walk with the Father. When you're walking with the Son walked with the Father. You're walking with the Son, so you're walking with the Father. In other words, if I was to break it down, I can't go any place without Jesus being present with me, because the Holy Spirit's with me. And we used to say this a lot in a Baptist church. There's three in one, and one in three, and one in the middle died for me. But you see, there's three in one, and one in three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there I am in the midst of them. He's trying to get us to understand that it's not a futuristic thing that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not a futuristic thing that we can communicate with God the Son. It's not a futuristic thing that we could talk with the Heavenly Father. When the disciples asked him, how do we pray? He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, recognizing that as the Father is with you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit makes it evident in your life. John 17:20 says, and the glory which thou gavest me, this is Jesus speaking, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. God, the Son, is talking to the Father and telling the Father that I want them to understand that they are one with me, and being one with me, they're one with you, being one with the Holy Spirit, and that we are together in unity and in worship of the Son. And if we go to Jeremiah 29, it's the next chapter over, Jeremiah 29. I'm going to read several scriptures to you. Jeremiah 29, and it's verse 10 through 14. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You see, he's getting down to it, that he wants you to understand that it's not next month, next year, last month, last year, grandma's thing, my grandkids thing. It's now. God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Ever-present. That means he's there with you. He has formulated. They asked God about knowing people. He said, "I know them before they were even born." So if God was so concerned about you that he knew you, knew what you were about, knew who you were, knew what you were going to do in your life, and he still brought you forth in his kingdom, his word, he made sure that no matter what you were doing, he was the one that brought you to the place of salvation. He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He brought you to that point that your spirit would cry forth and say, "God, save me." You know, what did Peter say when he got out of the boat and started walking across the water and going down? "Lord, save me." It's not my ability to save myself. It's not my ability to get myself lifted up and encouraged and so on and so forth. It's the Word of God that is coming to us and allowing us to understand that God desires to walk with us, to talk with us, and call us His own. When God came to the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. He came to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had sinned, and he came into the garden and he said, "Where you at? Where you at?" Well, they were hid from him because they had sinned. And they knew they had sinned. They knew that the former things had passed away. So what he's getting at is God is trying to show us that even in our sins, it's God that seeks for us. You see, Adam and Eve went and hid. But it was God that came seeking them to fellowship with them, to walk with them, commune with them, fellowship with them. That's what God the Father wants to do. He wants to walk with you, talk with you, fellowship with you. He wants you to understand that He brings not judgment, but He brings peace. He brings the glory of God into your presence. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your heart. You see, if we could understand that it's God not seeking us to condemn us, to bring judgment upon us, but to bring deliverance to us, to bring freedom to us, to bring the Word of God to us and allow us to understand that it is the presence of God that God wants to fellowship with us. He says, I will be found by you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places when I have driven you, says the Lord. Now, I know this is talking about the nation of Israel. I know that it's talking about the Jewish people. But you see, God is not desirous that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge. So what He's trying to get us to see is that as He sought them out, set them and delivered them from the world and the destruction thereof, He's desirous to do the same thing for us, to walk with us, to talk with us, to deliver us, to bring us out of captivity of the world and the things of the world, and set our feet, you know, like the psalmist said, He brought me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock to stay. Well, what's He doing? He's showing us that even though the enemy wants to devour us, bring us down into a pit and destroy us, it's God that wants to walk with us and fellowship with us, and He's willing to go to the utter depths to reach down into the miry pit and bring me up and set my feet on a rock to stay. In the prophets, He said that Jesus was the rock. So what He's doing is He's showing us that it's not a future tense thing. When I get to heaven, everything's going to be okay. It's a here and now that God wants to walk with us, to fellowship with us, to show us that it is Him that delivers us out of the pestilence and the trouble that the world's in. Now, got to flip the page here. It says in Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18, it says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now get that in your mind. That I can just stop for a second. I can think of all the marvelous things that God has done for me. I mean, you know, when I had the car wreck, God was there. When I had the strokes, God was there. When I had the fell off the ladder and landed on my head, God was there. I mean, I could name dozens of things that I should have been dead. I mean, I got a hold of electricity one time and I couldn't turn loose of it. And I know what happens when you get into electricity. I mean, that's what they use to execute people with. And if you can't get loose of it, you will die. But I have gotten a hold of it, and God has delivered me and set me free because He walks with me, talks with me. It says in Psalm, I've forgotten didn't finish that up. It says, how great is the sum of them, the things that God has done, the thoughts that God has for me. You see, before I do anything, I have to have that thought. I'm going to the kitchen to get me a drink of water. I have that thought. Then I get up, I go to the kitchen, and I get me a drink of water. You see, God is the same. He has thoughts about us, what He can do for us, how can He can free us, how can He establish us and have us to go in His way. God wants us to understand that. He says, and I shall count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now let me read that all together. It says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Now just think of the thoughts that God has for you. How great is the sum of all those thoughts that God has for you? He calls you His precious child. Well, you know, I call my daughter my precious child. And there's not one thing that my daughter could ask of me that I wouldn't do for her. Especially when she goes, Daddy... I know that little voice. That there was a little voice that I heard when she was a child. And she would come up and she would get behind me and she would hug on me and love on me and, you know, comb my hair and put it up in curlers and everything else. She did that because she loved me. And I loved her loving me. And that's what God is trying to get us to see, is that He loves us and He desires to do us good. And it says, they are more in number, the sum of the things that He has done for us are more in number than the sand. Have you ever been to the beach? Have you ever walked along the shoreline of the ocean? I have walked by several. And you know, every one that I've walked on had sand on it. And each grain of sand was more than I could count. I mean, I couldn't count 1 foot, square foot of sand. I mean, it would took me too long. But just think of that. God desires to do you good and to show you that you can't even, like you can't count the sand, you can't count the things that God wants to do for you. Psalm 144, verse 3 and 4 says, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of Him? I mean, if I come in here and I gave all of you, every time I saw you, I gave you candy, I gave you fruit, I just all the time giving you things, a new Bible, a new book, a new whatever. Well, you'd think, oh, he's a pretty nice guy. But you see, God gives to us every day from His storehouse. It's God the Father with the Son and the Holy Spirit abiding with us and delivering us that we could see His blessings upon us. He says, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him, takest account of him? Man is like a vanity. His days are a shadow that passes away. I mean, I was thinking the other day, my wife and I both were thinking the other day about the things of God. We celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary this year, last year. And it seemed like we could remember better the things of our wedding night than it was our 50th wedding anniversary. Why? Because those memories that were established are still in our heads. Sometimes we think more of the things that God used to do for us, hoping that God will in the future do things for us. But it's not yesterday that we're living in. It's not tomorrow that we're living in. But it's now that we are living in it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, it says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silverans and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." You see, sometimes we ask God things, and we think, it's like sometimes when I'd ask my dad for something. Dad didn't quite hear me. Or dad didn't know how to answer it. So dad wouldn't answer me. But you see, God knows how to answer us. God knows how to deliver us. He said, "I walk with you. I talk with you." You know, he goes on and on and on telling us that we walk with the Father, we walk with the Son, we walk with the Holy Spirit, and therefore we are walking in that fellowship with Him. It's not next month when we get to heaven. We used to sing that song all the time. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, that's true. When we get to heaven, it's going to be a glorious time. But you see, the time, if I could ask you something, the other day I got this funky watch. I don't know what you call it, but anyway, I got a watch, and sometimes it goes off onto things that all I want is the time. And it'll go off and it'll say, "You've done this," or "You've done that. How about breathing for another 30 seconds? Well, I thought I was. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that my watch doesn't know who I am. It thinks along common lines of individuals. And sometimes we think that God thinks along those same lines, that God wants us to understand that, you know, He's around. You know, God's still in heaven. Whenever He gets around to it, He'll send His Son back, and you know, we'll go to heaven with Him. But that's not what He said. He said, "I am with the Father, and the Father is in me," Jesus said. And He said, "You walk with us, you talk with us, you fellowship with us." He said, it's the Father and the Son. The Son knows every thought of the Father. And the Father knows every thought of the Son. The Father and Son know every thought of the Holy Spirit. God knows your every thought. And God is not desirous that any should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, He doesn't want you to dwell in the destruction of those that know not Christ, but He wants you to know the fellowship and the walk and the communion that you have with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. It's not could be or maybe or whatever. It is what God is showing us. I'm going to show you one last thing. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." Now, you say, why are you bringing that up? Well, I want everybody to understand that God has delivered you out of the slavery of the past, your past life, who you were, what you did, what you said, the people you went with, the people that you how much you drank, whatever how much drugs you took, whatever. It doesn't matter what the things were. It is that God was so desirous to walk with you and to fellowship with you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you see, that was the thing that got me. I've been on this for 3 days thinking about, His heart's desire, knowing everything that I would do, knowing everything that I would say, knowing everything about me, He still loved me, still loves me, present tense, and still will love me in the future tense. You see, it's God that loves. And that love of God says that I have the deliverance of His Son to walk with Him, walk with the Father, walk with the Son, and walk with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it don't get any gooder than that. I mean, that's just gooder and gooder. So, Father, we thank You and we give You praise. We give You honor and glory. We magnify Your holy name. And we thank You for Your word that tells us that Your heart's desire is to fellowship with us. And Father, as we go forth, let us ever keep in our mind that presence of You, that You are with us, and that we can enjoy that fellowship in the here and now as well as to come. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.